Mr. Johnson, I remember at the Youngstown Public Service, my first exposure to this was the call of meeting term.
Yes,
I was working in an office, and they said that we would like $20 from you every month. And I should come and join this meeting term, and then you know, we collect your money, and every month everybody gets a little lump sum and so on and so forth. And they said, give me a little chance to think about it. Are you cheap? Are you cheap?
Yes, and maybe you were. Maybe they thought you were.
Eventually, I joined. You know what happened, Mr. Johnson?
What happened?
When it came, my turn was, I said I'll get my turn last. I got my turn in December. Mr. Johnson, you haven't got it yet. The fellow who was in charge of the turn left and met to somewhere in New York or somewhere. I don't even care about it. I know, sir.
So you picked the wrong association to join that.
You see what I mean? Which is the race association?
The one that you sit and you look at the people and you decide to put. Let me ask you a question. It may be a personal question.
Mm.
You got married at any point in your life?
Well, of course, I was married to a nice Beijing lady who was born in Trinidad.
Me too. Okay. So, did it go the way you thought?
Yes, sir, it did.
And then?
I can't complain, but you know, some things, my family get involved in.
Okay, right. There's my point. We make decisions sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good decision. It's good while it lasts, and then something happens.
Mm-hmm.
In your case, if something happens, somebody take your meter turn and mm-hmm. disappear with it. So there are people who put their faith in banks that have collapsed. People who put mm-hmm. their faith in insurance companies that have collapsed. But there are people who put their faith in organizations, unions, mm-hmm. personal and otherwise, that have lasted. And the reason is that sometimes the decisions you make work out, and there are times when the decisions you make don't work out. I hear what you say about, and somebody tells me it's not 100, they only have 35 credit unions in Barbados, so I'm just telling you that figure. That's what I'm told. I haven't checked it. That's what I was told. I believe
it. I saw a newspaper, another figure, so.
Right.
Now, obviously, that person is only familiar with the 35, but there are obviously some, but the rest of the co-op is familiar with
the with more than 35. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, though, not to get away from the overall point that Brother Nasser was making, which is this. If people get together for their common good, even if you start within your small organization, like somebody told me the CDB has a buying club. Now, if the CDB has a buying club, the last letter of that is B, which is bank. If the Royal Bank has a buying club, the last letter of that is B, which is a bank. If the Central Bank has a buying club, the last B of that is a bank. If the banks then get together and have a bank buying club, you see how what starts as one small unit for one banking organization becomes an umbrella body for banks. That's why you have the Credit Union League. That's why we had C2SAB that was supposed to encompass all the trade unions. Yes, you'll have people who want to go out on their own, but, you know, you can start a growing thing.
Yeah, I don't mind the different unions, but what I'm always wary of is that within those unions themselves, there are always people who are looking for...
So there always... life is like that. There will always be people.
You know?
So there will always be people...
That's right. They don't buy all for a short way out, and then they make other people suffer. You know what I mean?
And they give a bad name to the entire organization.
Exactly. The important thing have the same, Mr. Johnson. You see, we just have a new government now.
Mm-hmm.
I have always said I've seen governments come and governments go, and the only thing that changes the name, the faces. Eventually, they fall into the same kind of pattern
trained in the same place, perhaps.
Situational politics or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like if it were possible that a new government coming in could really do a what I call a performance evaluation of all heads of departments and executive officers in the public service. The last 2 years to see exactly what have they accomplished for their position and for the salary and responsibility they have, because I believe that a new government should be in a position to say, look, I can't work with that fellow there, transfer him. You see who there? I want an inquiry or investigation into his term of office before he gets him. I feel the government should be able to start with a clique of executive managers that they can trust that have a track record of performance.
Sir, you know how quickly that would be called victimizing and getting rid of your political opponents?
I know that. But you see,
you'll be the first person to call yesterday, so.
In America, they can do that. Mr. Trump just called it Kearney Swamp. See, if he had Kearney Swamp legislation, I believe he would not be specific. Because they see, I believe, you see this new government coming in? They are going to come in and run into the same problems that the former government had. They're going to make promises to fix it until they see the Treasury and got the money to fix it. And then they're going to start making excuses. So we're going to have the whole thing over and over again. I don't blame anybody because if I were in debt, I guess I would have to fall for the same thing. But I don't believe it's the spirit of the people of Barbados to have officers, executive officers, that I was talking about before, in positions of authority, heads of government, heads of departments, who do not function properly. And they make the whole department look deficient and inefficient. And all the policies that government are handing down that should be done, yes. This road here should be fixed in 3 months. They know it takes 9 months to fix it. The other road should be fixed in 9 months. It takes a year and a half to fix it. And then three roads down the road ain't got no money to fix it, Mr. Johnson. That's what I'm talking about. That's a recurring decimal in the public service. I don't care who rich government comes down, all the goodwill, all the good feelings and so on that you want to have, you cannot do anything unless the people in the public service in the pivotal positions.
Why don't you trust
with you?
Why don't you trust our public officers to be efficient, to understand that they work for Barbados and not for Party X or Party Y, and to understand that whatever they do, if they do it inefficiently, will mean that the entire country, including their friends, their wife, their girlfriends, everybody else will suffer because of their inefficiency. We only have X number of people, you know. Unless you plan to import a public service from outside your region every 20 years or so after you've utilized everybody, provided you change governments every 2 years, or you recycle a group of people who will then say, yeah, I just waiting until your 10 years run out and my turn again and see what I can do to you. How are you going to get rid of that kind of thinking, sir?
Mr. Johnson, I got one answer for you.
Uh-huh.
If you got time, read the Auditor General report.
Sir, I read it often.
Simple things like a quarter report to say that I received some, I spent some, Mr. So much. Simple things like that people overlook. And then the Ministry of Finance don't know where they are, how much to spend, how much I got to spend, and so who they owe.
Okay, and then what happens?
The Auditor General report speaks to this problem.
Sir, if we do nothing about the Auditor General's report, if we do not give the Auditor General the clout, let's say, to say that I've investigated this, I have given this person X number of time to report, they have utilized these funds, it cannot be shown what they've done with it to my satisfaction, I've handed this file over to the DPP for further action. Can't that fix the problem? Would you not find a way to remove the people without saying, I can't work with Mr. X, and somebody calling it victimization? If the person goes through a procedure where the law looks at it, the law says you're culpable, this is the penalty, don't you remove the bad eggs that way?
Yeah, you should, but Mr. Donaldson, you see, the problem is there's something called performance evaluation report that every executive officer should have one at least once a year. In Barbados, it's almost unheard of. Nobody wants to evaluate anybody yet because you can get charged for this. He's my brother-in-law, he's my sister-in-law.
Thank you very much, sir. So it's not that the system is not there. The problem is that we're not managing.
You're not managing it, Mr. Donaldson.
So what do you want me to do, import people from overseas to manage? I will ask you again.
No, I will just keep moving around with people like on the draft board. Keep moving around until they find a niche where they can function, because to stay in the same position that they're in all the time and frustrate not only the government but the public, I don't think is fair. And I think those people, the Public Service Commission, have the authority to reprimand, to transfer, to suspend, or even to dismiss public servants. But it is not happening because there's a lot of nepotistic involvement and so on. You go to my church or you're my child, godfather, or my godmother, or say so, or you And you get that kind of thing, Mr. Johnson. Small society, and we have a problem that I don't know how we can get fixed, Mr. Johnson. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir. I was going to ask you if there's anything good you could think of in the public service, but you went. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Good morning to you. What I'd like to say first, sir, in my conversation, let me begin with Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. Mr. Johnson, sir, you are fully aware that the Caribbean Premier League season has begun, and class is class, form is only temporary. Things which I deem too rich for my blood, I prefer to leave alone. Similarly, a good coach always advises players to leave all the balls alone off the off stump. I take note, sir, that the former governor of the Barbados Central Bank, since it is in his right to act in the behavior as if he's still in control of the central bank, and as though he is now a friend of the government, acting as an honorary consultant. I take note, sir, of a recent publication, Credit Unions Rush, fed up with the inability to earn significant interest on savings at commercial banks. Angry Belgians are turning to credit unions. There is an old adage, what is good for the goose is better for the gander. I like the former central bank governor to properly explain, if it became the central bank's policy to accept a large deposit from a director of a large insurance corporation, if the same courtesy can't be extended to all Barbadians that move tens of millions of dollars towards the credit union, it should now be left to our present governor of the central bank to use his authority to get a stoppage where commercial banks place a charge for withdrawals and deposits. Whereas, you're fully aware, sir, that your money is invested without the pain of interest to the consumers. I don't know if you'd like to comment on that, sir.
So I would allow your comments to rest where you've made them, sir. I hope the governor of the central bank, former governor of the central bank, will perhaps share the reasons for his recent comments and why he has taken the route he has taken now to make the comments he's made. Thanks for your contribution. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello? 4341790, Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you, sir?
I'm all right, and you?
My best respect to you.
And to you too, sir.
Good. The gentleman that came in and talked about the buses, Drexel
buses, yeah.
Right. I would love to know if he's a member of St. George's South Branch. I cannot understand how he could come and jump into the face of the representative of St. George's South how he wrote these letters. I don't even know the man. I'm Dwight Sutherland's father, and I belong to the branch.
Sir, I don't think he met this minister, sir.
And Dwight is doing all this thing.
Sir,
all
I did not. Sir, I do not think that the gentleman who called and said he wrote the letter was referring to the current minister.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is if he can say that he's doing these things, it would make people feel that the St. George's South Branch is doing nothing. And Mr. Johnson, you are a man that is understandable.
Sir, I did not think he said that, sir, because
when he made reference,
he said when it first started, and I don't think it started last week or last month or 3 months ago or 6 months ago, he went to Draxall to see what the problem was. He walked around the area and he did it. So that was not, I don't think that was even this year, because I'm sure he said so before. And that's why I let him speak, because it is something I've heard him say before.
All right, but I want to make it clear that right now we are working on that problem.
Okay, sir. Good.
Right now, the St. George's branch is working on that problem.
Good. So the gentleman who called...
I just want to let the people know
mm-hmm.
that the St. George's branch...
is working on the problem.
Through the representative, Dwight Sutherland,
mm-hmm.
is working on that problem.
Okay, sir.
The Drexel problem.
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
And thanks for doing
it. Thank you very much.
No problem at all, sir. 4341790. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johns. How are you today?
I'm all right, sir. And you?
Not too bad. I can continue with yesterday call. I was in a caterpillar when I was speaking to you, so I can continue the conversation. But I'm glad I didn't, because you mentioned something today. You know, after those storms we had last year, BBC broadcast came up and said a lot of the people who were still territories of the colonial rule
mm-hmm.
were very disappointed because of the slow response by Britain and America, because they had always seen themselves better off than people than the islands that were independent, because anything that happened they would get back up.
Well, Puerto Rico thought so too, but they didn't, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. You said they were very disappointed because of that particular reason. They always seen themselves better off than the independent countries, and they were very disappointed. That was a major part of the disappointment as well. Now, you got anything to say on that?
No. No.
Okay.
Because we always like to believe that, you know, we have a big brother who will take care of us. And I, unfortunately, don't always believe that, but I can't shake people's belief.
Yeah, but did you see, they forget that a lot of these colonial powers help certain places for their own interests. Because a lot of people really don't realize that America's front line is not an American. No. America's front line is all in Europe. That's the reason why they'd be helping Europe with defense. Because, matter of fact, Trump even said it. Their front line is actually all up in Europe. A lot of people don't seem to realize that. Now, you once had a conversation with a gentleman, some eyes that we had here about people reading tea leaves and palm stuff. Like, remember that conversation?
Yes, I do.
that was very comical. Your female caller to read the Deuteronomy, because in the part of Deuteronomy, Moses was told the people you're about to dispossess, listen to sources and soothsayers. The Lord thy God has not permitted you to do so. Those are the Canaanites. The Canaanites are actually Caucasian people related to the European, who speak a language similar to the Hebrew. Now, she spoke about Cyrus. If you read the Bible very well, you'll see that the people that Cyrus was supposed to have released were actually the evil ones that they took, that was taken by Nebuchadnezzar out of Palestine. Nebuchadnezzar left the good, quote-unquote, Jews on the land, and so the evil ones, that they were so evil that they even killed Jeremiah. And incidentally, very little is known of Cyrus. Cyrus was first known only from a Sabbath. You have a good morning.
Okay, sir. Brass Tacks, good morning. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir. And you?
You can hear me?
Clearly.
Yeah, I'm glad that Mr. Sandler came and talked this guy. Mr. Peebles stopped confusing you, right? Because I am St. George, man, too. All my family live in St. George. But the place I really want the buses is Pearson and Workman, right? I cut them going through the gully and all kinds of things, Mr. Johnson, to get from Salt into Ellerton. So I don't know how somebody know you, okay?
So the gentleman is not annoying. So okay, so the gentleman, the gentleman is not annoying me. He made his comments, and I listened. As I'm listening to all the people who are making comments about the situation with the bus service in their particular area, including the ones today about Draxall. This is Down to Brass Tacks. 4341790. You can reach us there for a chat, or you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB, which is 266-4862, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. WhatsApp message says, Dennis, there are many well-educated, competent public servants who have excellent ideas. The challenge that presents itself is that ministers with no technical training or knowledge of the business of the ministry have the power to reject sound advice and frequently do. The subject of square pegs and round holes must also be framed in the context of who places the pegs. The members of the Public Service Commission are appointed by an elected official, essentially a politician, and there is the appearance of independence, but the reality is that in many cases the officer to fill the post has been selected prior to the holding of any interviews. And the caller seemed to suggest that that's what he wanted, because he said someone should be able to say, I don't want to work with X or Y, and have them transferred or moved. And I asked him if it wouldn't give rise to the perception that people were being victimized because of their political affiliation or otherwise. And it's one of those things that happens, I think, sometimes in the placing of people. This one also says, I've never agreed with the gentleman before on anything. He calls him by the name that people say he's known by. I don't know if that's his name, but he knows what he's talking about when he talks about the inertia in the public service. Dennis, it has nothing to do with any political party or bias. It is a systemic problem. People wrongly believe that it is politics. There is plenty good in the public service. If it's systemic, how do we change the system? How do we change the public service so that it reflects 2018 realities and not 1966 desires or even 1970 desires? I don't know. Brastax, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Dennis.
Hi.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Not bad, and you?
I'm good myself.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get in last week, but I was unable to.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a lady talking about Kropova last week. I think it was the Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't remember the exact day. Then she was talking about bringing a ban, a true kiddies ban.
Yeah, I remember that conversation, yeah. And Sandy Field Kelman.
Right, mm-hmm. And about doing choreographs, tough on stage, mm-hmm. and everything.
Yeah, teaching them how to masquerade, yeah.
Right. I remember you said that if you spoke to five out of every five persons you spoke to, three were from overseas.
Yeah, they were either Bajans living overseas or non-Bajans.
Yeah, I think you're a little bit generous. I would say more like four and a half. I don't know who the half.
Perhaps you counted more accents than I did, but yeah, you may be right.
I was there four and a half. Why was it that the lady, she spoke very well, and I kind of understand what she said, and I know you also had Chris on the program as well.
Right at the end, yes.
But let me say to her that years ago, you could have rehearsed and you had band members rehearsing and so on, but it was in the reverse. Every three to four persons were Beijing,
right.
Were a local, jumping in the band.
Mm-hmm.
So then you could arrange rehearsals that when people go on stage, that they could look uniform and presentation is really nice.
Right.
Nowadays, with everybody coming from overseas, when they hit Barbados, and believe what I tell you, they just don't even have enough time to collect their costume. Because they're coming with the tickets for this fat, the next fat, the third fat. So they come, they leave a fat, come to collect the costume, they got to go to another fat the night. Mm-hmm. They don't even have time.
Mm-hmm. So which is why the comment I made to the gentleman earlier about 7,000 visitors and spending $1,000 each may be correct. If that's what they're doing. Coming in, pick up the costume and go to a couple parties and then breakfast and on the road.
Okay.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it is all right to say certain things, you know, but I mean, you gotta be in it and see what is going on. Things have changed tremendously from years ago. Right? Nowadays it's all about the demand. You know. People talk about costumes and depicting this and that. You know, the demand is different. People, the ladies want to look pretty. Now you even have men that want to look, they want the feathered headpiece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, years ago, you wouldn't get a man requesting that. You would get a lady requesting that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have even men requesting the feathered headpieces. They want all the new fandangle things that normally mm-hmm. women would request. So things have changed tremendously. And people on the outside looking in got to understand what's going on.
So it is now a street party then?
It is, and it was for a long time. As I said before, it will go full circle, and one of these days it will return. But right now, is a street party. That's what it is. I mean, that's what is selling throughout the Caribbean. And if and Barbados got to get on with it, otherwise we get left behind. You know, it is. That's what it is.
But let me ask this question, Lynn. If that is what it is, if what we're selling is a street party, how do we get away from one, or should we remove ourselves from the stadium altogether and just parade on the road? Let me ask that question first.
Well, yes. I would think that that is what we should do.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we did that a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
where we move off from Warren's and we was judged in front of the stadium.
Right, the outside on the road,
they put up, yes, they mm-hmm. put us on temporary stands and so on.
That.
I think that year was a pretty good year. That was a great year as far as I'm concerned. There's no hype person when you go to the stadium. It is dead.
Yeah, I know that.
The people, you can see, it's reflected in how the persons go to the stadium.
They walk. Some people they just walk. There is they no, they, you know, some bands, I mean, some of the party bands, I see them trying to gee up the people. I see some of the flag people trying to get people to do things. But some people just walk. They just want to get out of there as fast as possible.
Exactly. So to me, I would forget about the stadium.
Okay.
Right? I think that's the way to go.
No. Second thing.
The stadium.
Second thing now is the other side of the coin, and that is the ensuring that your people, the people who play mass with you, people who jump in the road, the people who enjoy that you transmit that to the wider community, because that's how I think the festivals are sold, by how people see it. How do you handle that aspect of it? How do you handle the showcasing of your mass to those outside of your area? Because one of the reasons they used to go through the stadium was because you had television cameras there and you could show the people who home and the people abroad who, you know, come in and stay home. But I don't know, that's what they said they were doing. They were trying to showcase it.
Yes,
but
yes.
Is there a way to do that on the road? So that you still see, I mean, we sit here and see Notting Hill Carnival and we see, you know, Labor Day parades, and people always tell you, oh, there's Macy's parade, and you see it on TV. Why I can't see Barbados Grand Cadument, especially people who live overseas? And I tell them, you know how expensive it is to do that? And their rights involved and things that get caught up in, you know, the way people don't want to be seen. Perhaps they don't want even people to know their Barbados.
Right. It's costly, but I think it can still be done
okay.
on the road. I mean, because if you go to the stadium, to mm-hmm. me, mm-hmm. right, the stands are there empty, condemned. Yeah. You can't even go in the stands. So what's the sense? Yeah. To me, it makes no sense. I don't like the look. I would not sell that overseas because the stands are empty.
Yeah.
You've got a couple of people sitting in front of the judges.
Mm-hmm.
What? 100 people, 150 people, you know, when you
and
have
they'll be stand, blocked anyhow, depending on where the cameras are.
Exactly.
By the people masquerading.
So yeah, I would sell the road experience. That's what the people come here for.
Mm-hmm.
That's what these hundreds of people come to Barbados for, you know.
Okay.
They come for the road experience. I mean.
Change the route then? Or are you comfortable with the route? Go back
I'm
to the.
I'm comfortable with the route, mm-hmm. but I would just go back to.
Passing outside the stadium.
Move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go past in front of the stadium,
mm-hmm.
and I would not go down
to Spring Garden.
I would go back to the original road, because then you're going back to Warren, so you come back there,
okay.
right? That's what I would do,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I think it is, you know, it is time now that we move on. I've been saying all along that we were second to Trinidad a long time ago, and I think now St. Vincent passed us, St. Lucia passed us, Grenada has passed us. And if you look sharp, Jamaica and Guyana are right there ready to pounce. And it will happen very, very soon. You see, people got to understand what's going on here, you know. They don't see the movement. You got to see the movement. People are now leaving out Trinidad, going to Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell you up front, well, we can't come to Barbados because we just come from Jamaica.
So,
Jamaica was a couple of weeks ago, you know.
Yeah, I know that. Which was the other comment I made to when I talked about the two in every five or the three in every five, that they were not going back to their place of residence. They were going to another festival. So it's either they're going to Antigua Carnival or they're going to Spice Mass or they came from Vinci Mass and come here and going somewhere else. So there seem to be people who go from Mass to Mass to Mass or festival to festival. Now, the other question I would ask you then is, are we moving away then from a cultural crop over to a masquerade?
I think it's room for both, because both got to play in the same market. And let me tell you why I say so. This thing has been happening for a long time. I had a group from Canada called themselves Carnival Sensations. 4 years ago, they used to travel from carnival to carnival. They've been to Barbados 4 years ago. They haven't been back as yet.
Okay.
Right? But that's what they do. So this thing was happening for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we didn't check it. We didn't catch hold of it as yet. But there are people that's all they do. That's all they do. People left Barbados and gone to Grenada.
Yeah.
Grenada was last Monday.
Coming
back to Barbados, then to go home, you know? So there will always be room for the traditional. That's what I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So the traditional bands, and then you have the party bands. You can't say you're moving away from the cultural part of it, because that's what it is. But you got to understand, everybody got to coexist, both traditional and party, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's room for both. And that's what it is. You're going to have the demand for the party and minor demand for the traditional. And it will stay that way till it comes wrong again, right? If you look at the traditional bands that who portray and they want to depict exactly what they portray and all that,
mm-hmm.
you will see that they're hardly having anybody. They're going 100 people.
Yeah, 50 people, 75. Yeah,
50 people and all that, right? So you got to, you know, it is, you decide where you want to go, but you're going to reap the rewards accordingly.
Yeah.
Right? But people, and the people that are looking over understand that this is what it is, right? It is, my biggest thing now, and I will tell you, is how we can get Barbadians to play again, right? A lot like what used to happen before.
Mm-hmm.
But the price of costumes before $300-something, $400.
$400.
It's very difficult.
To find
but it
won't
look pretty just the same.
Yeah.
The feathers, the stones, gems, all of those things has gone up. The backpacks, all those things has risen. The prices has escalated.
So, but I want somebody to also factor in the cost of body paint and accessories, because I remember, I think during one of our fireworks programs some years ago, we talked to somebody who does body art, and I don't think body art, I mean, even if you have 150 people in a band and you have to do paint on six packs on the males and then body art on the females, that's a lot of work, and I am not sure that paint and even the skill is that widespread that you have, 20 or 30 people doing it. So, you know, you can't even see you're spreading the cost. So I think there are costs attached. I saw a guy in the Weekend newspaper saying that he wanted fake eyelashes too and everything else as part of his costuming. I see John looking at me kind of strange, but that's what the guy said. And you are correct when you say, you know, the males want all the accessories too, feathers and the headpiece and everything else.
That's true.
But therefore, we go back again to the business aspect of it. Is there a way for us to make a business out of providing the materials for festivals up and down the region and use Barbados as the warehouse for it?
We
have government estates that have empty spaces. Can we warehouse some of the things we need and make a business out of supplying the needs for masquerade bands up and down the region?
It's possible. I think it can be done, but it is costly, and then
it would take capital at the top, yes.
Yes.
And you would need demand, yes.
Because I remember when Samaroons was in Barbados.
Yep, and they moved.
I remember years before then, and I'm talking about a good 5, 6, 7 years before they came here.
Mm-hmm.
the managing director, Mr. Samaroon, spoke to me extensively about bringing the store to Barbados. I was one of the people who encouraged him to do it, actually, because we did business with them for many years, and I encouraged him to do it. But then when it came, it could not sustain itself.
Right.
He only really got business 4 weeks before crop over, 5 weeks before crop over or so. That's the busiest time.
Yeah.
Besides that, everything dead. That's the reason why he had to close it down.
Close it down.
He was losing a lot of money. And I know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But, I mean, we need to look. I think the government needs to look at it, because this is, I think it's something that we can work with, and it's something that could bring a lot of revenue. Right? Because these stores in Barbados does not carry...
They don't carry any money.
Much. They carry nothing. You know, if you go and buy a piece of material today, you go back for it tomorrow, they don't have
They don't have more.
They don't have no more. I mean, it's a fact.
Yeah, but sir, you see, that again deflates the business of us making masks. Because I saw some complaints about people going to the Fair Trading Commission about not seeing what, you know, their costumes not looking what like what was advertised.
Right.
And comments being made about, you know, sometimes the delays in delivery, and sometimes you don't get all the material you need, and sometimes and sometimes and sometimes. You can't ask people to pay good dollars and then say, sometimes I don't get it on time. That's not business.
Correct.
You know, that's not how you do business. And I keep pointing to the fact that the big bands in Trinidad, the party bands, the bands that have 8,000 plus people, the bands that get the Mick Jaggers and the people who come from overseas, the same way we got Brian Lara and others traveling through the Caribbean, they tell you on the last day of mass, if you pay down X on your costume next year, instead of paying $8,000 for it, you're going to pay $5,000 for it. And they have seed capital to start making your costume long before 5 weeks before Carnival. So that's how you get the year-round business for your stores with the material, because you start building costumes, warehousing the bits and pieces that won't wear and tear in 6 or 9 months. That's how you do business, isn't it?
Anything
you do?
Because it's a business, right?
So, but why
First
we put
all,
up so
it's a business.
So why we put up with this in Barbados? What we have, and look at car companies, where you go for a part for your car, and they tell you, well, we have to bring it in, you know, because we don't stock that part. But you have, what, 600 of the cars on the road? So why are we doing business that way? It must be more expensive to fly in one part every time you need it.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I always said that we should, and you always encourage band leaders that you should launch very early.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Trinidad launch, I mean...
Carnival as soon as the last Carnival finished, right?
By
Christmas, next Carnival in full bloom.
Exactly.
You can barely see your way through Christmas.
So because it's a business, and you should treat it first
like a
as a business, right? That's why you have to treat it as a business. And it is, even in every aspect, even in terms of paying for your costume,
mm-hmm.
as I always say, if I give my local people 6 months to pay for a costume, it is more accessible to them.
Right.
Because instead of paying $700 in 2 months, you could pay $700
over
in
six months.
And you pay $100 a month.
Yeah.
And you get
at
a costume.
You
get it at the end.
Yep.
You may not have that availability at cash to do that in 2 months.
Agreed.
You've got to cut out something else, you know? So that's from the business aspect. That's what we try to do, you know, and I will continue to try to do that, because it's a business, right? And to get, we are facing many challenges. I could tell you that, right? Many challenges in terms of you buy a fabric now, and you ask the supplier, will you have this in volume in a month's time?
And he tells you
no. Yes.
No, they tell you yes, and then they don't deliver it.
Yes. But then when you go back for it in a month, they tell you, well, sorry, it's all gone.
It didn't come here yet, or it's gone.
It ain't come yet, or whatever.
Yeah.
So you got to try to hold that now early.
Mm-hmm.
So the way now is to buy it in bulk.
When you can.
One thing.
Right.
So what we have to do, if you can, but you're going to be, you have to be in a position to do that.
Right. Yeah.
If you're not in a position to do that, then you're in problems.
And then you come back to what I'm talking about seed capital. Because if you look,
exactly,
if you look at the figures, you'd say, you know, maybe 4.5 out of every 5. If you have these people, the ones you talk about who say, you know, we're traveling to festivals and they haven't come back yet. If you get those people tied into you on an annual basis or even every 2 years, you know for sure that come, let's say, maybe January or February, they'll call you and say, you know, what are you putting out this year? You know, we come into you. Here's my check for the down payment for X or Y. I like this drawing. Can I send you my check so I pay early? That way you have seed capital to start working, because you know for sure you have 100 people coming with this group and they want to play in this section or that section. That's where the business aspect and facilitating how we treat Kaduma comes up. So you are correct. By the time the person gets here, let's say 2 days before Grand Kaduma, you could meet them on the airport with a welcome drink and their package and say, here is your costume. Let's go to the band house now and have some fish cakes.
That's true. That is
perfect. That is the experience that people will pay for and laugh and talk about it afterwards.
But let me tell you something. There are people that are prepared to, they call it pre-register.
Mm-hmm.
For a costume that they didn't even see.
Because they know your reputation, they know you, and they like playing with you.
Exactly. And they were pre-registered for a costume that they didn't even see yet. They didn't even see it, and they're willing to put down a deposit for it. And that's where we have to get to,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you meet people, you sell a package. And that's where we even also try to do that. You sell a package.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the hotel.
Yep.
You know, you don't do ticket because that's too... That fluctuates too much.
Right.
But you go, you meet the person at the airport. I met people at the airport.
Yep.
They're in Grenada now.
Yep. But it makes a difference to the experience. I mean, our head of news, I mean, you're going to be hearing from him shortly, Stetson. His dear lady, Dr. Bob, likes to play Mass. I used to see Marilyn Rice Bowen almost every year playing Mass. There are people who like to play Mass. And they're willing to say, look, I play with you next year and the year after, the year after, because of an association and they like the company, they like the vibe, they like the band. And those people are your selling points. Those people are your regulars. And when you treat them in a certain way, their friends will come along and they bring along people with them. That's why I talk about how the big bands in Trinidad make sure they get a few big names with them, you know, Mick Jagger, somebody with the international thing, and then they tell him, your costume ready since before Christmas, man, come and get it. So he spends Christmas right into Carnival. That's how you sell your product. Nice talking to you, sir, because I know marketing is something you're very sharp on, and always good to hear from you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have the lunchtime edition. Stay with us.